Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork. But somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
It's Sophia with an F, Franklin with the Y, and if you're looking for some bubblegum dum-dum podcast, then you are in the wrong place, baby. Whether I'm reminiscing on the trials and tribulations of working in the corporate world to recapping today's latest reality TV show, you're going to want to pull up a chair and stick around. It's a good time and always 100% unfiltered. Follow and listen to Sophia with an F wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit villageofbedfordpark.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
12:03 Monday, August 24th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Judson Richards in for Rob Hart today. The WBBM Noon Business Hour, sponsored by FinishingChicago.com. Hawthorne Racecourse could become the next battleground over data center development. We'll talk about that in our next segment. But first, after last year's magical run, there's a ton of buzz surrounding the Bears as they prepare to take the next step this season. We welcome Mark Gannis, president and core founder of Sports Corp Limited, right here in Chicago. Mark, thanks for your time. Let's begin here. Before we get to business, let's talk ball. Can the Bears build on last year's breakthrough season?
Yeah, they absolutely can. Remember, last year was the first year with the new head coach, first year effectively with Caleb Williams. This team has got the pieces to be a very exciting team this season. And they did something last year which usually takes more time. They learned how to win tight games at the end. That's a very hard thing to learn in the NFL. It usually takes a lot of losing before you get there. This team is on the upswing. This could very well be a team that gets to the Super Bowl this year.
Mark, are the expectations as high as the 2019 season after what they did in 2018, or because of this offense and Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams, does it surpass that?
It surpasses it in part because there's so much more attention to the NFL, even just 7 years later than there was before. So there's a lot of hype, a lot of discussion. The Bears are included in all of those discussions. The Rams are considered the best team in the NFC right now. But the Bears came very close to beating them last year. And so that's why I say with Williams and with Johnson, this team's got a real potential to do some incredible things this year.
We're joined by Mark Gannis of Sports Corp Limited. Okay, Mark, let's get to business. How important is another winning Bears season for Chicago's bars, restaurants, and other businesses that connect to this team in some way, shape, or form?
You know, when the Bears win, also when the Cubs win, but when the Bears win, this city just lights up. People want to be together. They don't want to be alone in their living rooms watching the games. They want to have people around them. And the best place to do that is in the bars and restaurants here in Chicago that cater to those kinds of groups. So if the Bears come out strong out of the gate, I think you're going to find this is going to be a really big economic boost for the hospitality industry in Chicago.
Mark, I do believe the number is seven. Seven primetime or standalone games. The Bears are playing on both Thanksgiving and Christmas. What does the Bears' increased national exposure mean for the team in the city?
Well, first thing is it demonstrates how the networks and the NFL are viewing the Bears, not just as a competitive team, but as one of the glamour teams in the NFL. And for that, we really have to go back to the 85, the mid-80s teams, when the Bears were on as many Monday night games and primetime games as would be allowed under the rules. This team is being viewed as that kind of ratings draw by the NFL and by the various networks that cover the league. What this means for Chicago is, first, it's going to present the city to national and international audiences. And one of the things Chicago often does is it looks great with the helicopter view. Hmm. It looks great from the Goodyear blimp. It also will people, there will be more media coming into Chicago to cover the Bears, national and international, and that will lead to more coverage for the city. Now, as long as we don't screw it up, it's going to be a big positive for the city.
Mark, thanks so much. We'll give you a break on the stadium conversations, but who knows? We could have that again in 72 hours with how quickly that can change. That's Mark Gannis, president and co-founder of Sports Corp. Limited. The Bears start the regular season now in less than 3 weeks. They'll open in Carolina against the Panthers. Coming up next, big tech needs big space in Hawthorne Race. Could be next. We'll tackle that.
Information to make cash and save cash. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, we've talked a lot about the data center boom, the economic benefits it can bring, but also the growing pushback. Now, the debate could be coming to Hawthorne Racecourse. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park Business Line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Chris Stagg, Chief Technology Officer of eGroup, based right here in Chicago. Chris, thanks for talking this afternoon. Let's start with the big picture. Why have data centers become such a major economic development story?
Hi, Judson. Thank you for having me. And it certainly is a flashpoint. Economically, developers and some mayors and city councils love the idea of welcoming a well-funded taxpayer into their facilities and into their region. But citizens, on the other hand, see very little value in it, as opposed to maybe more retail or usable space. And then ecologists have big issues with the data centers, water and electricity use. So it is really a divided situation at the moment.
Chris, let's dive a little deeper on the pushback. Where are we seeing the loudest pushback coming from?
Well, generally, in recent days, it's coming from more rural areas where these things are proposed in farm fields or close proximity to residents. On the other hand, it's not such an issue in crowded and already noisy areas. Elk Grove Village, right around O'Hare Airport, has 10 data centers in its city limits and is proposing or accepting another 5. So I think in some areas where it's obvious and it's a new building and it's going to cause noise and maybe it'll draw an electric use, that's where the flashpoints are.
What are the tax implications with the data centers?
They're pretty huge. And that's a sticky subject. It's interesting, in the Trib yesterday, there was a nice article about Cook County Assessor Cagle and his team. When they assess these properties, there's a vast difference between what the data center operators or owners themselves claim the property is worth. And so there is a stack of these tax referrals and assessors revamping of these assessments. They are stacked up so high because the assessor's office, in one case at a Microsoft data center in Northlake, said that the facilities plus all of the equipment, like the backup generators and the electrical power utility stuff, they recommended that the property be worth $873. Meanwhile, Microsoft's private assessors, of course, influenced by lobbyists and such, said that the property is worth $250,000, which is basically the land and the building. Everything inside of it wasn't assessed. So there's a huge gap there between what these providers and operators are paying and what the assessors in our county are believing that these facilities are actually worth.
That's really interesting. Chris Stagg, from the Chief Technology Officer from eGroup here in Chicago, is joining us talking about these data centers. Chris, it seems like some of the data center companies could do a better PR job surrounding this issue, couldn't they?
That's very true. Yes. If you listen to the news from Anthropic's CEO or OpenAI's CEO, these guys are talking about super intelligence that will one day rule the world effectively. And they're not being shy about the potential job loss to info workers in our society, as opposed to maybe as they're building these data centers, taking a more even tact. They've got this in the case of the Microsoft gap here with the Cook County assessor. That's $500 million in land value. That's the gap. If they could chip in just a few million of these into PR and or maybe some give backs to the local societies, they'd go a long way. Nobody's really talking about how they might actually lower our electric bill by helping out and lowering the taxes. Or they're not talking about giving any money to schools where kids might be educated in AI to get a leg up. So there's a bunch of different things they might do that's more of a PR venture as opposed to just talking about the downsides and potential job loss.
Chris, in about a minute, so Hawthorne Racecourse could become the latest battleground. What would a massive site like that mean for surrounding communities?
Well, I think it's probably a lot like the last caller you had talking about the Bears who have land over in Arlington Heights. This is a more of a neighborhood facility, which I think is going to have some pushback. And interestingly there, Mayor Milinkovic said that he would vote against the data center proposed at Hawthorne. And they've put a 6-month moratorium on there. Unlike Northlake and Elk Grove Village, of course, where these mayors welcome the revenue. And as long as it seems the revenue is more than the last payer or last taxpayer, some of these communities will welcome such revenue. Maybe not so much and not so fast in Hawthorne.
Chris, great stuff. That's Chris Stagg, Chief Technology Officer of eGroup, based right here in Chicago. Up next, magic wands at checkout, the latest twist in Tap to Pay. We'll explain coming up.
Compounding your interest with an economy of words. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
All right, so we got two stories on the payment front today. TikTokers waving magic wands at checkout and Walmart finally embracing Apple Pay. We welcome Ted Rossman, Principal Consumer Finance Analyst at Money Management International, based out of New York. Ted, great to talk today. Let's begin here. The magic wands. What exactly is happening with these magic wands at checkout and how exactly do they work?
Yeah, this is a little dangerous for credit counselors like myself because we always say that payments are not a magic wand, right? Well, now literally they are in some cases. Cash App has this new functionality where you can actually get a little plastic wand that can attach to your keychain or go into your pocket or purse. And it has that same near field communication technology that tap and go credit cards have or your phone has. And you can literally tap it and the Cash App version will pull from the Cash App balance. So at least in that case, it's not a credit product. It's actually pulling more like a debit card from money you already have. There are other versions that you can buy on the open market that your credit card actually fits into this plastic wand device. And then it uses that near field communication technology. But yeah, you can literally tap one of these on a payment terminal, kind of like a smartwatch or a smartphone. And it's kind of a fun, whimsical way to pay. Just make sure you're not overspending. I feel obligated to point that out.
Yes, whimsical. Almost whimsical if it's mom and dad's money, it feels like. Ted, could we eventually see all kinds of everyday objects become payment devices?
I think so. I mean, we're already seeing a lot of that, where you can definitely leave your house now without your wallet, because a lot of states are allowing digital driver's licenses and digital car insurance proof. Digital payments have become pretty widespread. MasterCard actually says about 2/3 of in-person transactions in the U.S. are contactless now. And that takes a few different forms. That could be your smartwatch, your smartphone. It could potentially be the card itself. But yeah, there are these kind of whimsical devices now that more companies are coming up with. There's people doing 3D printers. I mean, really, the underlying technology is just that you need this chip and the near field communication stuff, but there's ways to embed that into all different kinds of payment instruments and even things we didn't used to think of as payment instruments. I mean, any sort of gimmicks and doodads that, you know, as long as it's got that underlying technology, you can pay with it.
And Ted, I'm surprised it took this long, but Walmart is finally embracing Apple Pay, right?
They were a big holdout, and the reason was because they were promoting their own technology. They had this Walmart Pay thing that was actually a little bit clunky. A lot of people didn't really like it, but you had to scan a QR code. The reason that they didn't accept Apple Pay, although now they're starting to, and by the end of the year they will at all their U.S. stores, Apple Pay, Google Pay, Samsung Pay, Tap and Go credit cards, they've been reluctant to accept any of this because they want you in their own system. So they want you using their system and they have more data tracking. And finally, they gave in to some customer demand for the more commonplace Apple, Google, Samsung, et cetera, technology.
Ted, great stuff. Appreciate the insight. That's Ted Rossman, Principal Consumer Finance Analyst at Money Management International, based out of New York. Still ahead, avoiding the I'm out of money call from your college freshman.
Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast.
Reality Gaze, let's love.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Judson Richards in for Rob Hart today. The Noon Business Hour, sponsored by FinishingChicago.com. It's been a seesaw day for financial markets. Joining us to discuss today's actions on Wall Street is Jack Ablin, Chief Investment Strategist of Crescent Capital, based in Chicago. Jack, thanks for your time today. So all eyes are on NVIDIA this week as the chip giant reports quarterly earnings. What do you make of what's unfolding there?
Yeah, here's a company that's had pretty good success of beating expectations. And so in many respects, perfection is now the new consensus when it comes to NVIDIA. And this is such a large company. It's really more than just an earnings report. It is really a macro event shaping the AI infrastructure and landscape.
Jack, what does NVIDIA need to deliver to satisfy investors, given how high expectations have become?
Yeah, I think it has to maintain a very high operating gross margin, which is already at 75%. I think the investors are going to cut them a little slack because they are shifting their premier chip to a new generation. So the other worry is, have they really saturated the data center market? Have they really just hit peak? Peak penetration, and there they responded with this kind of financing mechanism with some of the largest investment banks to try to bring in other customers. We'll see how that plays out.
So the bond market seems to be taking on a life of its own. How does the Fed play into all of that?
Yeah, so the Fed is meeting this week in Jackson Hole. We'd like to hear from Chairman Warsh to find out what's going on. Essentially, what's happening is the chairman has really taken a hands-off approach to monetary policy, or at least not certainly describing his view. And I think the bond market is now taking that, filling that void, and starting to push markets around. And that has really gotten Treasury Secretary Bessent's attention, and he had thought about maybe buying some bonds to try to bring rates down.
Jackson Hole wouldn't be the worst place to have a meeting, would it, Jack? Jack Ablin with us, Chief Investment Strategist of Crescent Capital here in Chicago. Jack, let's talk about the tensions with Canada a little bit. What do you make of how that's unfolding?
Yeah, I mean, this, you know, to me seems like an unforced error on both fronts. They are essentially our largest trading partner both directions, certainly I would call this friendly fire, not sure why we're going tit for tat with Canada here. Ideally, long term, as we reindustrialize, I think we really would like this whole Western Hemisphere to be a large trading bloc, and we certainly would need Canada and Mexico, for that matter, to make that happen.
Jack, how concerned are you about geopolitical tensions keeping oil prices elevated and potentially reigniting inflation?
Yeah, so oil is a kind of a mixed picture. High oil prices certainly filter into a lot of different products. We're seeing that already. But it also is a restraint. It's, in many respects, it's like a tax. It could actually slow economies down. And so I'll call it a mixed bag, Judson, but all in all, we'd love to see a little more clarity. We've just heard Treasury Secretary talk about his new whatever he's calling it, a economic D-Day, mm-hmm. on Iran to try to isolate it. We'll see if that has an impact. We're starting to see a split among Iranian leaders, so perhaps we'll see some movement on that front.
Finally, is there a narrative emerging, Jack, on Wall Street that no one is talking about yet?
I think people are talking about it. You know, once the federal debt crossed $40 trillion and there's really no movement to try to help our deficit, I think at some point that's going to really become part of the broader political conversation. And longer term, I think we do have to really address more of a balanced budget. And I think what that really means is taxes all over the place probably have to go up.
Jack, grateful for your insight today. Thank you so much. That's Jack Ablin of Crescent Capital. Up next, money doesn't grow on trees. Wouldn't that be nice? We're going to teach your college-bound teens financial responsibility.
Money talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
As teens head off to college, it may be time to teach them that money doesn't grow on trees and how it actually works. Let's bring on Ed Jurtson, certified financial planner and founder of Engage Wealth Group right here in Chicago. So, Ed, great to talk. Let's begin here. A lot of teams do not fully grasp money. I would venture to guess most of them don't. Where do you even begin teaching financial responsibility?
Yeah, Jetson, I mean, this is a bigger picture. I mean, 64% of consumers, and these are adults, admit that overspending is easy with credit cards and mobile apps, and 60% of them don't even track their spending. So now we're sending our kids off to school, and we're expecting them to do things that the vast amount of Americans don't do. And so if you haven't spent the time in giving your children that financial guidance, right, how to be good stewards of their money, you know, go gently into these first couple of months with this transition, a new chapter in their lives as they head off to school.
So what do parents need to do to make sure their college students are prepared to deal with finances while away?
Well, the first thing is to give them agency. This isn't about withdrawing financial support. It's giving them the tools to equip themselves as young adults to kind of navigate their way through this. So setting up guardrails and boundaries in terms of what they can and can't spend, I think would be a great idea. And listeners know we're huge fans of a spending plan, right? Getting young adults to map out their spending can go a really long way in having them look forward on what to spend rather than, you know, having phone calls to parents at desperate times when money's needed for whatever emergency arises.
Ed, what should young adults understand about credit cards before that first card lands in their wallet?
Man, that's the hardest thing about campus, right? So you get on campus and, you know, maybe you get a free T-shirt or a free hat or something like that to sign up for a credit card. And what we know post, you know, graduation is that 60% of Gen Z credit card holders only pay the minimum balance. So what we don't want is to have this, you know, plastic turn into a weapon of financial destruction, right? We want to have guardrails on this. So, you know, parents can help their kids get a low balance credit card, right? So they're not putting themselves too much at risk. But again, that could be kind of a lifeline if whatever reason your spending comes up, or, you know, it goes from, hey, my laptop failed right before finals versus, hey, I want to go take a trip somewhere. So again, be really have very clear communication about that credit card, because again, they're 18, they're adults, they can get one on their own, but having that communication, I think, can go a long way in creating some financial resources and security for your new college student.
We're joined by Ed Jurchson, Engage Wealth Group, and discussing sending those kids off to college and asking them or trying to show them how to be financially responsible. Ed, this is something I think a lot about with the 6 and 3-year-old, really mirroring, right? As young people understand more about money, how much it becomes from what they're watching their parents do.
It's an excellent point. And again, personal financial planning and personal finances are complicated, Judson. There's a lot to go through and navigate. And with your young children, giving them the nuances, giving them agency of giving them money and watching kind of what they do with it, what a great opportunity when they're young. So when they get off to those college years, right, they're already equipped with that. But again, parents who haven't spent the time to do that, don't give up on your children. Most importantly, have some patience and understanding, because you're formulating that knowledge today for when it really matters, when they graduate and now they've got bigger choices to make. So again, you know, if you can start early, like with your two kids, great. But again, make sure you're peppering this in the conversation whenever you can to, again, equip them with that financial resources and that guidance for a good financial life and ultimately financial independence.
Ed, it's an important conversation. Thank you so much. By the way, you can learn more from Ed and his website at engagewealthgroup.com. Hey, join us at this time tomorrow for Travel Tuesday. And still to come, a pair of investment ideas from a money pro.
The only program dedicated to currency events. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Okay, it is Stock Picker Monday. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park Business Line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Matt Shapiro, president of MWS Capital, right here in Chicago. Matt, get us started. What's that first pick of yours?
Well, we have an electrical flare today. So the first is Pinnacle West Capital, which is the largest utility in Arizona. Nuclear power assets, strong growth, as anyone can imagine, with electricity usage in the hot, hot Southwest climate. You throw in data centers, commercial growth, and everything, you know, strong growth in terms of revenues. The stock, however, because interest rates have been up, the Dow Jones Utility Average peaked out about a couple months ago. Interest rates rose, so many fast-growing utility companies like Pinnacle West are available down at their relative one-year lows.
How high could you see that going?
Well, it's been as high as 110 so far this year, and it's become a better regulatory environment in Arizona and tremendous growth, data centers. There's going to be a significant investment by NVIDIA. All this creates massive power demand. So for patient investors, you know, we are getting a 3.7% dividend plus all this growth. We think allocating to the utilities when they're down because of interest rates being a little high is sensible for the defensive investor.
Matt, hit us with pick number two.
Second is Hubble Incorporated. This is sort of a classic mid-cap that makes of everything, every single kind of heavy-duty electrical component that goes into both the build-out on the power grid as well as the build-out of the AI infrastructure, all sorts of electrical equipment from transformers to conduit. The stock symbol is HUBB. Again, a fast-growing mid-cap company, down a little bit in, again, a buying zone. Just a little bit of a shakeout. from earnings, which were excellent, but a little bit of compression because, you know, they do use a lot of metal and components. So they had a tiny bit of margin compression that I think analysts reacted to. But here again, you have a great central AI theme play down at a relative one-year low.
Matt, great stuff. Thank you so much. Again, that's Pinnacle West Capital Corporation, PNW, and Hubble Incorporated, HUBB.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule, automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.